The following audio is via a Skype call.
Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show.
Hey, good morning. This is Laura Meeks. I am The Laura Meeks on The Laura Meeks Show, and I am live here on Transformation Talk Radio. I bring you an incredible and interesting show today. You have to get your mind ready for this, because we're going to take off, and our destination today is the land of imagination. And as you heard at the beginning, my motto is dream on. We keep our dreams close. We fly high and we live adventurously.
This is Laura Meeks. I am The
And I'm going to share all of that with you. I do want to mention this. So I'm going to say this right up front. For those that have followed my advertisements on Facebook, I am giving a course away today. So if you want to be the first one, the telephone number is 800-930-2819. And if you don't know, then I will tell you in a little bit about what I'm giving away. But so let's start this adventure with using our imagination. So here's what I want you to do. Now, if you're driving, don't do this. I want you to close your eyes. And here's what I want you to do. I would like you to imagine your front door. So imagine you're walking towards your front door. Imagine what it looks like, what's around it. Okay? Now, the second thing that I want you to imagine is I want you to imagine what it would look like if you were to walk up to your car and open the door and sit in your car. Okay, now you can open your eyes. The reason that I use this is because this is a really simple and effective method to prove to you that you have an incredible imagination. Because I know this, that when I said, look at your front door, I'm sure that you did not see a brown wooden door on the shelf at Lowe's with six others stacked behind it. You saw your front door. And when you jumped in a car, it wasn't my car, my purple bug. It wasn't somebody else's car. It was your car. And you could take your mind from here, wherever here is, into envisioning what you're looking at. And that is a simple and positive proof that we all have been given the power of imagination. Now, in the land of dreams, dream building, and vision building, part of what I teach is the idea that for us to envision a life that we would absolutely love and understand, I have a mission. I'm here on a mission. My mission is to help tens of thousands of you, you and me, change your life in such a way that you can bring your unique gift to the world. And you're going to do that by changing your life. And when you do that, you're going to live a life that you love. Now, to do that, one of the key pieces is we have to imagine what that's going to be. So part of what we're going to talk about today is the power of imagination, what it is, where we are. So I want to start with a little bit of a short story on imagination. I was trying to dream up a bunch of stuff, and I came up with this. About halfway through my Air Force career, I was coming up for a new assignment. And that new assignment was typically, from where I was in Texas, was going to be to North Dakota. Now, it didn't take me a lot of imagination. I grew up in Minnesota. I kind of knew what North Dakota might be like. So I was looking for something else. And truthfully, part of the challenge, too, was I had just gotten married. And my wife was in the Air Force. And she was actually stationed on the island of Okinawa in Japan. So in my land of imagination, I wanted to imagine myself living with my wife on the island of Okinawa. So that I had done some work to make that happen, and I had some data. But Of course, then the next thing that happens is I call down to the Personnel Center in San Antonio and say, hey, here's my grand plan. And they said, well, you need to imagine something new because you can't go to the island of Okinawa doing what you do. And so we crafted up some other ideas. And one of the things that he presented me was the island of Guam. That was going to be a possible assignment. I had not imagined that. But after researching a little bit, I found out that it had the power of imagination. So if you've been to Hawaii, you can kind of imagine what Guam might be like. Guam is a tropical island in the South Pacific. Beautiful, pristine white beaches, palm trees, lush jungle. It's everything that you can imagine that you would want to do and where you would want to go. So I imagined, so then I started using my power of imagination to imagine what it might be like to be on that island. And I have to tell you that, yes, I did get assigned to the island of Guam. That did work out. And one of the things that I found is that it was everything that I dreamed of and more. And while I was there, I continued to use my power of imagination because I got to the island. There was some incredible hiking and ponds and caves and all kinds of cool stuff to do on the island of Guam. But imagine, if you can, an island 32 miles long and 4 miles wide, surrounded by thousands and thousands of miles of ocean. I thought to myself, well, I'm kind of limited on this little pile of rock, but I thought, wow, look at all that water. I wonder if we could actually do something in the water. And it turns out they had scuba diving was very popular on the island. I got my scuba diver's license and I imagined what it might be like to be under the water. And I bet you can use your imagination as well. It was everything that you can imagine. Gorgeous coral reefs. We saw lionfish and dolphins. One shark very far away. You can imagine that part too. But it was everything that I thought it would be and that I could imagine. And all of that also helped me get close to the island of Okinawa. So at least the good news was is that I wasn't very far, a lot closer than Texas, so that we actually could have an actual relationship and see each other when we were on the island of Guam. So all of that was me using the power of imagination. And it's important as we go forward in this world that we can cultivate that power of imagination. So I'm hoping that by sharing the door story that you know that you have it, and then if you can imagine what it might be like to scuba dive on the reefs, then that brings more of your imagination into the world. Now, as I was going along, one of the things that I found later in life was that there were actual universal laws that are applying to how the world works and how we live our life. So it's nice to know that we have an imagination, but the power of knowing that you have an imagination is not only to know that you have it, but to know what you can do with it. And so by studying some of the universal laws, one of the things that I found is that you can apply this imagination to our life. And as we go through this little adventure today on the destination to imagination, we're going to talk about some of the ways that we can use our imagination to improve our lives. And later in the show, I'm going to talk about how we typically use it and how that can be a distraction. But I want to go back to these universal laws because one of the things I found very interesting in my life is that the kind of education that we have in this particular culture in America doesn't very often intersect with this idea of universal law. So in some regard, I felt like it was kind of a hidden secret that I had found. But here's the interesting thing. They're not a secret. These ideas have been around almost forever. Now, I'll go back to a quote in the Bible. So there's 2,000 some years ago, Proverbs 23:7. I'm going to take a little license with this one. As a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. So 2,000 years ago, they knew whatever you're thinking about is what you're bringing about. Now, in my studies, one of the things that I thought is that a lot of these ideas, the universal laws, law of attraction. There's 11 other laws that I can talk about. They all deal with what has become known in our world as new thought. So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm 10 years ago. So I'm in my 50s 10 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, new thought. Yeah, that's like, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 2000, you know, 1990, new thought. Now, a lot of the books I was reading were printed in 1990. So I thought, hey, this is new thought. Turns out new thought actually started 168 years ago in the 1850s with two people that are important in my study, Emerson and Thoreau. Henry David Thoreau, and it was interesting. I went out, they lived in Concord in the 1850s. Emerson was a universalist minister, came from a ministering teaching background, and he was a master of thinking of these new thoughts. He'd come across transcendentalism, and he'd brought all of this to life. And he used to have people, and I've actually been in his house, where the table is, where he would have people come, and they would sit and talk about these new ideas. He brought new people, very important people in. Now, it was interesting, Henry David Thoreau, just as a sidelight, Henry David Thoreau was his yard guy. And it turns out that his yard guy was really smart. He couldn't, Emerson wouldn't let him into the room, but he let him sit outside the room until after a while they said, wow, this kid's really got some great ideas. And it turns out he ended up practicing those ideas, and he created a book called Walden. Which was an interesting reflection on this new thought. But in my life, before we take a break, I just want to talk real quick about how this comes into the flying world in my life. Because early in my career, one of the things that happened was when I was flying these big B-52 bombers. So this is a giant airliner size airplane, 8 engines, and we fly it thousands of miles around the world. As we were flying that, it turns out that to practice flying some of the more dangerous things, we needed to use a simulator. But the simulator, here's the interesting thing, the simulator was very rudimentary. The airplanes were built in the 60s, and the simulator was put into a train, so that it was so expensive that they only built one or two, and they would put them on a train and drive them around. So we would go over and practice in the simulator. But the simulator really required a lot of imagination, because basically it was the exact cockpit that we had in the airplane put in the front of a boxcar. And we would go over and sit in it. It had all the switches and everything, but the only thing that really moved at all were the dials, and the windows were, they were glass, but they were frosted glass. So we couldn't really see anything. They had no computers to do visuals or anything like that. So for us in the world of flying, we had to use a lot of imagination. Imagine that when we're sitting in this boxcar here in the train, you know, hearing trains and other things go by, they imagine that we were in the airplane. Now, part of the reason that I bring that up is because for us in the flying world, this idea of simulating where we are and what we were going to do was an important piece of our flying. And it really took a lot of imagination in those days to do that. And we can apply that. I can apply that to our life as the idea that we are going to use our brain as our life simulator. And we are going to take our mind and our soul into a new land so we can practice things that we want to do ahead of time. That's the value. Now, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. It's a good time to transition. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to bring in Albert Einstein. I'm going to talk about things that happen twice. That's going to be important. And I have some reflection on being a parent. So this is Laura Meeks. We are on Transformation Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com. Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with Cornelia Stephanie VIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Welcome back. That's the good Fly Like an Eagle. I like that song. Thank you for that introduction. This is Laura Meeks. I'm on Transformation Talk Radio. Today we're talking about flying our airplane to a new destination. The destination is imagination. And we're using the power of our imagination as we go out into the world, and we're going to use that power to create a better life. For those that are following along and follow my advertisements, I am giving away one of my Flight Plan for Life courses. So you can call in 800-930-2819, 800-930-2819. If you don't know what that's about, I'll tell you in a minute. That gives an edge to those that have heard my show before. I want to give them a little chance to get that prize. Now, if you're wondering whether you really have the power of imagination, we use the door example. Here's another example. Any of you that are parents, raise your hands. Okay, I'm a parent. One of the things that you know is if you really want to get your imagination going, imagine what it's like when it's about 12 o'clock at night and your high school child has not come back from a date. They're supposed to be back at 11, now it's midnight, and you're wondering what's going on. I assure you that your imagination is alive and well as you try to figure out what possibly could have happened. And it's always a relief when they come traipsing in the door with some interesting excuse of why they're late. But it truly brings your imagination to life. Now, Albert Einstein, one of the things that Albert Einstein said is the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. Intelligent people know how to use their imagination and to manifest the life that they are looking to lead. And that's what we're talking about today is that A, you have imagination, B, what do we do with it? Now, there's good uses of imagination, bad uses of imagination. We're going to start with the good uses. And I want to talk about knowledge. I'm going to go into a thing here on knowledge, because one of the things that I've been impressed with in life is the difference, and I want you to think about this for a second, the difference between knowing about something and knowing something. Seems like a real fine line there, knowing about or knowing something. But it is amazing how important this is as we move forward in building a life that we would love. To use your dreams to fly high and live adventurously, you're going to have to know the difference between knowing and knowing about. So knowing about, we all know people who know about everything. You bring up a subject, I know about that, Egypt. I've studied Egypt. I know all about India. I've been to Madagascar. I know all the people in Madagascar. They know about everything. They have academic understanding, and I think that's a good word, academic understanding of what that is. They read a book or read an article or they watched a show and they know about something. Well, you know about your imagination. You've actually practiced it a couple times already. You know about imagination, but knowing something is when you can take that academic information and put it into your life. You're living it. So you can know about Buddhism, but it's different if you are a practicing Buddhist. In my life, and I'll give you a clear example of knowing and knowing about. We're going to go flying in an airplane, and you have your choice between two pilots. One that read a book and flew a flight simulator in their basement, and me, somebody who's flown thousands of hours in a variety of different kinds of airplanes. The first person knows about flying. They may have even practiced it a little bit in the simulator, but there's a big difference between knowing about flying and knowing flying. And so what you want to know as we go through this destination imagination is you want to know imagination. What can you do with your imagination? How can you use it effectively? You can know about it is helpful, but knowing it is much more important. The next thing I want to talk about is I said that we were going to talk about the power of two, knowing everything is created. So I want you to think about this for a second. Some of you have already been down this road, but this is important to know this. And we want to know about it first and then know it. And that is the idea that everything in this world is created twice. You say created twice. It's like, yeah, it's always created twice. So if you look at the red blouse that I'm wearing, that was created in somebody's mind first, and then it was created physically using cloth, and they sewed it together and they got it to a particular size where I could buy it and wear it, and it fits me. So everything is created twice. And that's important in this land of destination imagination, because the imagination is the very first part of that. That's where everything is created in our minds first. Everything is created there first. So a house, you can't build a house until you have the plans. Well, having built a little shed once, you can just start with a pile of wood. But if you're really going to make something worthwhile, you want to create a plan, figure out where the rooms are on the boards and what kind of materials you have. Everything is going to be created in your mind first and then in the real world when you manifest it. Now, why is that important in the land of imagination? Because for you to build a vision, what I call the flight plan of life, if you're going to have a vision of what your future is going to look like, then you have to imagine it first. Now, I'm going to give you one quick example. Some of you have been around people who are in the dating world. And as they start going out and dating, they go out on dates and they come back and they tell you about, oh, you wouldn't believe this person that I dated. Have you heard this? I seem to attract crazy people. I attract weirdo people. And the reason I'm telling you that is because if everything that is in your life is thought of first, then you have to kind of backtrack that idea as to how come every time you go on a date, you're attracting weirdos. And I would contend that the challenge is that you're worried about finding another crazy person. So somebody calls or you call somebody and you set up a date, and then you start going into this world as like, I hope this is not another crazy person. Well, the universe, using the law of attraction, the universal laws that we're talking about, the universal law says that you're going to attract what you're thinking about. That's why imagination is so important. Is that if your dominant thought is, I hope this is not another crazy person, then you're going to continue to attract crazy people, because your dominant thought, universe doesn't really know yes or no or a want or not want. It just knows what you're thinking about. And if you're thinking about crazy people, then you're attracting crazy people. So the counter to that is to use your forward imagination. This is like memory is another one of these six things that I'm going to talk about, the six mental faculties. But imagination is one of these six mental faculties. And to do that, to use your imagination, then what you want to do is when you set up a date, then you want to imagine what that person is going to be like. They're going to be kind. They're going to be caring. They're going to be loving. They're going to pay attention to what you're saying and react and not be on their phone during dinner. So that is very much like the simulator. So I want to go back to that idea of the simulator, is that you have in your mind the power to simulate, to imagine what this is going to be like. And so the technique that I want you to get is the idea that what your dominant thoughts are is what you're going to attract. And so you want to imagine what it's going to be like. Now, you can just think it. It tends to be more helpful if you can write it down. I'm a big fan of writing down your visions and building that. But it is just a matter of creating and simulating where it is that you want to go. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story before we go on a break, because this was an example from my past that I found very powerful. So one of the things that happened when I was after pilot training is we had to go to prisoner of war training. So there's a simulator for that. And they found in the Vietnam War that that people that got captured were really unprepared for what was going to happen in a prisoner of war camp. So they brought that information back. And they created a way for us to physically simulate being in a camp. Now, one of the things that I learned there was the story of a guy named Major James Nesmith. Now, Major Nesmith was captured for 7 years in Hanoi, and he spent most of that time in a solitary confinement. He was in a box, a room that was only 4.5 feet high and 5 feet long, and he spent most of 7 years there. Now, to keep his mind active, the thing that he did was this, is he, before he got into the Air Force, or while he was in the Air Force, he was a golfer. He was not a pro golfer, but he liked to golf. And in general, he would golf in the 90s. So while he was in this little box, what he would do is he would imagine being at the country club that he normally golfed at, and he would actually mentally golf all 18 holes every day. It took about 4 hours. He imagined the smell of the grass. He imagined practicing swinging. He imagined where the ball was going to land. He imagined walking to that ball and hitting it to the next. And he always imagined hitting par, which in golfing is about 72, depending on the course. So he's normally a 90, hits around 90. He's imagining 72 for 7 years. Now imagine this. At the end of 7 years, he gets out. And after he gets out, and remember, he's physically not like really fit. He goes to that country club to golf. The very first round that he golfs, he hits a 74. Now he's in the worst physical shape, but he mentally imagined golfing. And that's the kind of power that imagination has. So we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk about the definition of imagination. And I want to cue you in on the six mental faculties. This is Laura Meeks. I'm on Transformation Talk Radio.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuiper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com.
Are you ready to create a life you'll really love? Then you'll want to tune in to the hit show Life Design Radio, From Adversity to Awesome with Susan DiLorenzo, live each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. No matter where you are in your adversity story, Life Design Radio has got you covered. Get ready to feel inspired, enlightened, and motivated. For more information about working with Susan, visit SusanDiLorenzo.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Have you heard of drawing a longer line? A teacher drew a line on the board and asked her students how to make the line shorter without changing or erasing it. No one knew the answer, so she drew a longer line right next to the first one. You can be just like that teacher. If you lack self-confidence, you can draw a longer line. Think of someone you love, someone who inspires you, and ask yourself, what would they do? Remember, you don't have to change the fear or try and get rid of it. A bigger thought, a larger feeling, has the power to release you from the limits that undermine your confidence. Then you're free to take inspired action, to be your best self. Hi, I'm Sarah Main, co-host of Conscious Confidence Radio. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about how to transform your life with conscious confidence, go to my website, ConsciousConfidence.com.
Yes, that is an incredible, we got all the flying songs. I love that. Fly Me to the Moon, a great, great song. And that it deals with fly high living, Laura Meeks. This is Transformation Talk Radio, and you're listening to me, Laura Meeks, on the Laura Meeks Show. Today's destination is not going to be the moon. We can imagine going to the moon. Our destination today is the land of imagination. And we're talking about the power of imagination, why it's important to us, and how you can effectively use this. I love the story right before the break of imagining the golfing, because that shows the power that we have imagination. And a lot of coaches use that technique of imagining throwing a perfect basket, imagining throwing a perfect pitch. It turns out the brain is often can't really tell the difference between you imagining doing it and actually doing it. So if there are things that you are trying to rehearse, that you can rehearse it in your mind, and that's as effective as if you were actually on the stage. Imagine this: two hunters were out in the woods. They're going hunting. One of them collapses. All of a sudden, he can't breathe. He stops breathing. He falls over. He looks like he's dead. The guy next to him, his buddy, picks up the phone. He dials 911 and says, "Man, you got to help me. I think my buddy's dead." And he says, hey, hold on a sec. Don't worry. I can calmly get you through this. You know, it's important. Let's take this one step at a time. The first thing we need to do is to make sure he's dead." And he says, "Okay, great." And then all you hear the phone put down, you hear him walking away, and then you hear a gunshot. And he comes back and he says, okay, what's next? It's like, okay. The imaginary hunter. I can imagine that you can imagine what happened then. At the beginning of the show, I talked about imagining your front door and the car. You were able to see that you can take yourself from where you are physically and move your mind to another land. We talked about your child not coming home and how you can imagine what might have happened. Well, I want to tell you that the imagination is a thing that we all have, but what I hadn't realized, and you may not have realized, is that on this earthly plane, this spiritual being that you are is in this earth suit, and the earth suit comes equipped with five senses, five earthly senses. So hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling. Smelling is the last one. All of those are senses that we use to feel around this real world. And we take in that information. Now, one of the interesting things I found as I studied this was, interestingly enough, all those senses are sensing only one thing. And that one thing is vibration. Light vibrates at a very high frequency. Our eyes can see that. Sound, much lower frequency. Our ears can hear that. Touch, taste, smell, even lower frequencies, and we can sense those. But all of that is just vibration coming into our senses, and then it gets, you actually see, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. That information is processed in your brain, and then what you think you're seeing, the hands in front of your face, are the symbolization that your mind has created of that. It's important to understand that there are five earthly senses and the fact that there are six mental faculties. So not only is this body equipped with physical senses, but we have mental faculties that we use to process all this information that is coming in. And one of those is called imagination. That's one of the six senses. If you haven't heard this before, you can Google six mental faculties. There's tons of information. I'll be covering some of it in later shows, but just to show you that this is something that has been talked about a lot. And it's interesting when you look at the physics of what's going on. If you were to take a microscope and look at cells and then break cells down to smaller and smaller particles, eventually you get down to what most of us have studied in physics is the atomic particles, and realizing that the neutron, electron, positron, all those things are basically tiniest of tiny little particles revolving in what's basically wide open space. So what we think are real hard surfaces like the surface of my desk, in fact, there is huge volume of space in between that. Our skin looks like you can't poke through it, but if you were looking at a microscopic level, you could fly your little atomic plane right through it and not hit anything. Now, six mental faculties. I want to talk about the power of imagination. I took this off of a website because I thought it was probably the best that I had read so far. This came off of a website called Dream Manifesto. And it says, of the six components of mental faculty, imagination is the most complex, but of vital importance. Imagination is defined as the human ability to construct images, sensations, or concepts at a time when they are not being perceived by the five physical senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, touch. So what they're saying is that this is just as you did when you imagined your front door. You took your mind and your soul to the front door, even though you weren't seeing, touching, smelling, or hearing your front door. Elements of the past experience, it is literally creating a feeling or a thought, creating a feeling or a thought without a stimulus. So you're not getting information and you're mentally creating this. It is elements of your past experience mixed with the senses or of pre-existing concepts that are used and arranged to create an imaginative construct. Imagination has been thought to have been a necessary, think about this, a necessary component for our evolution and our survival. So it's not just nice to have. You need this to get around in the world. It helps a species solve complex problems simply by thinking about them and envisioning the possible outcomes. Thinking about them and envisioning the possible outcomes. That's an important piece because it is the simulator tool of our mind for us to imagine what might be happening. And the power of knowing this is knowing that you can then simulate what you want. Now, I will tell you, it probably won't be a surprise. One of the things that I think is very, very important in building your dreams, flying high, and living adventurously is building a crystal clear, written vision of where you're going to go in the next year or two so that you can imagine what that looks like and take your mind there because your life comes from or through your dreams. Your life is created by you creating your vision and then imagining what that is going to be. And that's what takes you to your new life. And no surprise, I have a four-week course called Flight Plan for Life. And that in that four-week course, I work with you 1 hour a week to build that crystal clear vision. And I'm going to, fear not, I will give you a little more information about that as we get into our final segment. But I want you to use this new skill. In fact, I want you to do this. I want you to think about Thomas Edison. I want to skip to Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison found a place called the Land of Solution. And understand, Thomas Edison was one of the great inventors of our time. He had almost 1,100 patents. He invented everything, things that changed our life, obviously the electric light bulb, but phonograph, movie, camera. He worked a lot in telecommunications and telegraph. So in his time, he crafted up some incredible things. And here's how he did it. Now, it was interesting because a lot of people thought that it was his hard work. And I have to tell you, he was a hardworking guy. He and his staff worked long, long hours. And it was thought originally that Edison's power was in his ability to focus his thoughts and get work done. But in reality, a lot of his staff was working really hard. And so it was not just about working hard. It was about his ability to find solutions to problems. And you can do this too. So this is how Edison did it. Edison went to a place that he found between the land of awake and the land of sleep. And he called this middle ground the land of the solution. This is how he did it. I actually went to Dearborn in a museum. Henry Ford actually moved Menlo Park office to Dearborn so you can walk in there. And you can see the chair that Edison sat in. And what he would do to get into this land of solution is he would hold a ball bearing, one in each hand, and next to his chair down below, he had two metal pails. And so what he would do is he would rock back and forth in this chair and try to get into the meditative zone to actually kind of almost get into sleep so that he could solve these problems. Because once he got into that middle zone, ideas just clicked in his brain, and that's how it happened. So one of the things that the reason that he had the balls in his hand, should he actually get past the land of solution, then the balls would fall into the pails and they would actually wake him up and he would start again. And he would hold the balls and go back in until he got the land of solution. So when he was thinking about what would make an electric light bulb or some of these other things that popped into his head, he found that that was a critical juncture. And by doing that, he was able to do it, and you can do it too. Now, you may not necessarily need to use the steel ball theory. You can use some other ideas. You may just try it on your own without that. One of the things you'll find is, as I found in the meditation world, that if you're sitting up, there's less likelihood that you're going to fall completely asleep. So that's that you're trying to use the power of your imagination in this land of solution. And that's important. It looks like we're going to skip a break here because I have a couple other things I want to chat with. And we only have a couple minutes left. So in the land, I want to give you a tool that you can use. And the tool is this. It is the idea and the statement and the affirmation is this. It just takes one and it's easy. So whatever challenge that you're facing right now, and you want to use your power of the imagination, the power in the positive direction is to imagine a solution that's not hard. So very often we come programmed in life with the idea that life's a struggle, that life is hard, that the mind doesn't grow on trees. We have all these paradigms that we've learned, and we have to get out of those and into the land of a solution. So one of the ways to do that is next time that you're trying to solve a problem that you think is kind of hard, because remember, it's thinking, then just say this, it just takes one and it's easy. Now, a quick story about it just takes one and it's easy. Mary Morrissey, who I trained with, is a mentor of mine and a leader in the personal development. She and her husband got to a situation where they were going to try to move. They were moving to a new house. They bought a new house and they were trying to sell their old house. And the problem was, is that it was right in the middle of the recession, 2007, 2008, right in the middle of the recession. And they were going out to dinner with some friends, and they were talking about how they were going to have to sell their house. And of course, their friends, being kind of traditionally trained, started into the idea of, oh my God, do you know it's a recession? You know, you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be really hard. People are lowering the price of their house. You're never going to get what it's worth, blah, blah, blah. That whole flow of information came into Mary, and it affected her. She and her husband, Joe, walked out to the car and they were thinking, yeah, you know, you're right. I think this may be harder than we thought. And then she snaps out of it and goes, wait a second, I'm Mary Morrissey. I don't do that. She says, I'm going to say it's easy and it just takes one person to buy our house. It's easy and it just takes one. So to end a long story, they were in the middle of moving. Their house was filled with boxes. Joe goes out to the mailbox and he meets one of their neighbors. He says, hey, what are you doing, Joe? And he said, well, we're packing up and we're moving. And she says, wow, really? Have you sold your house yet? And he says, no, you know, we haven't sold it. We know that we're looking for somebody who would really love to be in this neighborhood. And she says, hey, you know what? I have some friends that have been dying to live in this neighborhood. Do you mind if I call them? He's like, do I mind? No, of course. Call them. So in the midst of moving stuff out to the truck, lo and behold, here this couple comes and knocks on the door. Now, you and I know that, hey, the best way to sell a house is to have it all staged so that they can. So now they're thinking, again, oh my God, you know, this isn't going to work. But they went straight to the, it just takes one and it's easy. They showed the couple around the house, and she knew about halfway through that the couple was now imagining, using the power of imagination, my furniture would go here, the baby's crib would go there, this would go there, my kitchen, I can see. And they could see in their minds what the house would look like with their stuff in it. And they made an offer of more money than would have been expected. They didn't make $1 billion, but they got the fair price that they were looking for. And it just took one. And it was easy. So use that tool. It just takes one and it's easy. That's the power of using your imagination. Now, here's a quick joke, and then I'm going to wrap up the power of imagination. So I like this. I don't want to leave you without this. One day, Mrs. Nelson is a fifth grade teacher, and she wants to teach imagination to her kids. So she says this, I'm holding something behind my back. And I want you to imagine what it is. You just tell me what you think it is. The thing that I'm holding behind my back is long and it's yellow. And Judy's like, oh, Ms. Nelson, I know what that is. She goes, oh, what is it? And she goes, it's a pencil. She goes, oh, Judy, no, it's not. It's a banana, but I like your imagination. So then she says, okay, I'm holding something else behind my back. And Johnny or Jimmy says, hey, she says it's round and it's red. And she holds it behind her back. Jimmy says, oh, Ms. Nelson, I know what that is. He says, it's a red rubber ball. And she goes, no, sorry, it's an apple, but I like your imagination. Now, Johnny then says, hey, Ms. Nelson, I want to test your imagination. She says, oh, okay, I'll do that. He says, I have something in my pants that is warm and has a head on it. Oh, my gosh. She says, Johnny, I'm going to send you the principal. That is not the way we think around here. And he goes, well, Ms. Nelson, I was talking about a quarter, but I love your imagination. So we do have the power of imagination in our hands. Now, the thing that I want to leave you with is this, is that, again, the thing that is important for you to do is to affirm the positive. Now, worry, one of the things that I know that all of you are experts in imagination is the fact that we worry. Now, think about this. Worry is using the full power of imagination in the negative direction. So worry is you imagining the worst thing that's going on. And we all do it, and we're all really, really good at it. So what I want you to do is think about the other end of the stick, the other end of the spectrum, and that is tell me this. Everybody says, what's the worst that could happen? That's, you know, whenever you get into such, what's the worst that could happen? Why would we be thinking that direction? So I'm going to tell you that the best power of your imagination is to think in the other direction, to think in the positive direction. So along with the affirmation that it's easy and it just takes one, that you can also create your own affirmation. So when you're working on sales, you say you're in real estate, then you want to affirm that I'm a top seller in the real estate business. If you're losing weight, it's easy to lose weight and I'm at my perfect weight right now and it feels good. Now, the important part is to imagine not only, I use weight as a specific example because you don't want to say, well, I weigh the perfect number. A number doesn't really have any power. The vision needs to be how you're going to feel and what you're going to do when you weigh the perfect weight. What you're going to do as a top seller in real estate. So you want to affirm the positive. So next time you say, what's the worst that could happen? Or you hear somebody say that, you say, wait a second, excuse me, let's go the other way. What's the best that could happen? All of that just to say that I've got a couple of seconds left to let you know that we do have, today we are giving away my Flight Plan for Life course. So my Flight Plan for Life course is a four-week course where you talk directly to me, either over Skype. This is Zoom, so we can do Zoom or Skype, or just a conference telephone call. But you and I will work one-on-one to craft up your vision in four areas. So we want it to be balanced. You want this whole thing to be balanced. So we're going to talk about your health, your relationships, what I call your vocation, which is your creativity, or your vacation, which is what you would do if you had unlimited money, or your philanthropy, or what you would do when you have an abundance of resources, not only money, but time and effort. What would you do? All of that is put together into one course called the Flight Plan for Life course. And if they haven't given it away, you can call in to this number, 800-930-2819. And operators are standing by to take your order, and the first one in gets it for free. Everybody else can go to my website, Fly High Living, and you can connect there. There's a description of the course and everything that is going to happen in that. So with that, I'm going to wish you an incredible life ahead. It's important for you to envision, use the power of your imagination so you have it. You can use it in a positive direction. And by using one of these six mental faculties, then you can build a life you love.
You've been listening to The Laura Meek Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.